Well, let's talk about that redistricting case. So if you wrote the majority opinion, why did you come down differently than the Court of Appeals on that ruling? Do you think politics is involved in these decisions as far as this one? Because it was a split decision.
Well, I mean, when you say the Court of Appeals, you're talking about a federal
yes.
Court of Appeals.
Right.
There are a great many factors that figure into any redistricting case. You have to start with the 14th Amendment. It says that everyone is entitled to due process of law, regardless of race. You have to take into account the Voting Rights Act, which pretty much mandates that you take into account race. And North Carolina is not fully covered by the Voting Rights Act. It applies in some parts of the state and not in other parts of the state. We have the North Carolina Constitution, which says counties, to the extent allowed, counties shall not be split in drawing up districts. You know, where that mandate of the state constitution violate is inconsistent with the Voting Rights Act, the Voting Rights Act applies. In redistricting, you can also take into account the continuity of districts. You can take into account such things as blunt as protection of incumbents. It's a real cat's cradle, and I haven't listed everything by any means that we have to consider. In the 2006 Pender County case, the Pender County case involved some counties being divided into different congressional, state congressional districts, state house, state senate districts, so that they were effectively had no voice in Raleigh. And we said, no, they're entitled to their voice. It was Pender County that had been split into three. The analysis in that case took into account everything I discussed a minute ago, and the U.S. Supreme Court said, affirmed that case. Then we got this the new one, the Rucho case, and once again, I wrote that taking into account essentially the same factors that had been said okay in 2006, and the Supreme Court has kicked that one back. You know, we're doing the best we can with what we have. We are subordinate to the U.S. Supreme Court, and they have had their changes, I guess, between 2006 and the more recent one. We just do the best we can, but I was following the law as best I could, and the majority of my colleagues on the court agreed with me.
This is a tough question, I know, but if, you know, in light of the rulings on the congressional maps when the legislature had to be called back to redraw the maps, you know, it was noted several times by Republicans that they would then draw the maps for partisan gain. They were very open about it. They said, I think one of the quotes was, we're going to draw this for a 10-3 Republican over Democrat split only because we can't do an 11-2. Based on comments like that, would that have changed your ruling in any way?
Well, the decision we have to make is not, has the General Assembly acted wisely? Or would we do what the General Assembly has just done? The question before us is it constitutional? Is it consistent with the North Carolina Constitution? Is it consistent with the United States Constitution? Is it consistent with Voting Rights Act, one person, one vote? So what their motives are is really not something that we traditionally take into account. When I was in law school and we studied things like gerrymandering and redistricting, we studied older cases that involved cases where a specific intent, the Deep South, was to redistrict certain groups completely out of the picture. I was surprised when I got in and, you know, studied the more recent cases to find a certain amount of gerrymandering is perfectly permissible. You can, in fact, the party in power, whichever party it is, can gerrymander to retain power. And, you know, raw as it is, that's not unconstitutional.
Why is that? I mean, isn't there, you know, if you have this, you know, idea of one person, one vote, then how is it constitutional for the legislature to essentially be picking their own voters rather than the voters be picking them? Does that kind of make sense?
Well, yeah, although I'll have to say we're talking civics now, not things that the judges have to deal with. You know, these are complex questions. For many years, North Carolina was a one-party state where one party made sure it stayed in power. We are more now of a two-party state, and they compete with each other.
Mm-hmm. But essentially, with the districts that we have now, I think it's something like 75% of people running are running unopposed because they just, there's no way that anybody could challenge them.
Well, I mean, these are things that the legislature does. Again, for us, the question is the constitutionality of it. So far, the challenges have all gone to the federal courts. And, you know, we sort of keep our distance because these cases may come back to us. The last round was brought in the state courts. You know, you're asking me questions that, as a judge, these are not brought before us. It's a question for the voters as to whether or not, should we go to a system of having like a commission?
But aren't the voters essentially silenced by the legislature when the legislature is drawing districts so that the districts aren't competitive? I mean, the voters, you say the voters should have a say, but the voters don't, like so many people that I've heard for this election, don't believe their vote really counts, you know, on the state level anyway.
I'm not sure exactly how to answer that because you're asking me questions that I, as a citizen, as a voter, would be, you know, willing to answer.
I see, yeah.
But as a member of the Supreme Court, these are not issues that come before us, are not issues that we're called upon to decide.
I see, okay. And you're not really even able to answer them? Does it?
I'm just not sure how to answer that. I mean, these questions of one man, one vote, one person, one vote.
Sure.
You know, that is the national law.
Right.
And it's something we take into account. And have in our redistricting case opinions.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
I mean, isn't when the appeals court, when they look at those rulings, I mean, you're talking about a federal court, but aren't they looking at the rulings of the state Supreme Court and casting a judgment on them? So they're looking at the same thing and they're coming to a different conclusion.
That's exactly what's happening, yes.
Yeah. So isn't it a fair question, though, then, how the legislature is performing as far as creating districts where people don't have a voice? I mean, isn't that something that is happening?
If that challenge were raised to us that people, in fact, one person, one vote was being violated, that in fact would be a legal question.
I see. So essentially, if someone had challenged the districts in a different way, maybe not based on race or something. I know that several lawsuits have been challenged recently, actually going after the idea of partisan gerrymandering. I think that's sort of a new territory they're wading into because courts in the past have ruled that you can do partisan gerrymandering.
That's precisely the point I was making earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Partisan gerrymandering, you know, it's like watching the sausage or the salami being made, but it's permissible.
Right.
But, I mean, the premise of so many of your questions is that this is a political question that is thrust upon the court, and the court is going to act on it in a political way. And I challenge that premise.
Uh-huh.
I think we work very hard to deal with the facts and the law that are given to us.
Mm-hmm. Can you separate the politics from that question, though? I mean, we're talking about elections here and voting. I mean, politics is inherently involved.
There is politics in voting. Our job is not to make political decisions. Our job is to make legal decisions.
Right. I guess what I'm getting at in this one, if this was a 4-3 decision and the state Supreme Court has a conservative 4-3 lean, then wasn't this a political decision by the court, by everyone on the court? I mean, it maybe even as well-intentioned as everyone on the court may have been acting, did their own politics inform them on this decision?
I can't answer for everybody else. My belief is that the answer is no, that we do the best we can. You know, each of us comes into this business with some understanding or some having reached some conclusions about the relationship of citizens in society. You know, that's part of just being an American. But, you know, the fact that I am registered in one party or my colleague sitting beside me is registered in a different party, that doesn't drive our decisions.
I mean, doesn't it drive the decisions of, like, the people who are holding fundraisers? I mean, the Republican establishment has gotten behind you in this election to, in their words, keep a conservative Supreme Court. Do you challenge their notion of what your reelection would mean?
Well, I've been running a nonpartisan campaign as best I can. I mean, I acknowledge that the people have said some of the things you have said. I will point out that people on the other side have said precisely the same thing about my opponent, who is in fact running to change the direction of the court. He's explicitly said so. But if you look at the material, the advertisements, the things I've done, I do not call attention to a party. I do not say anything about the balance of the court. I am running on my experience, 16 years as a judge. If you look at my website, you will see that I have been supported, or currently am supported, by former presidents of the state bar, former presidents of the Bar Association, former chief justices, to Democrats to Republicans. These are not people easily fooled. These are people who have seen my record over almost two decades and understand that I am an independent judge, a fair judge, an impartial judge, and an unbiased judge.